to our next guest, and he is Vernon Bryce. He's the managing partner of a company called Kinexa. Welcome, Vernon. Vernon talks about will talk to us about HR and metrics related to HR. Mark, you had some thoughts on that.
Yes, so very warm welcome to you tonight, Vernon.
Hi there.
I'm sure the first question that all of our listeners want to understand is from your survey, yes, which you've conducted on employee engagement.
Yep.
What is employee engagement?
Well, at one level, it's an emotional commitment to work. I guess we can look at it statistically as well, but I usually start with the emotional commitment. And the definition we use is where people are motivated to contribute more at work towards the organizational goals. But that's the text. The stats are really a combination of something that we used to call satisfaction, also advocacy, you know, you'd like people to work in your company, retention and pride. What we find is those four factors make up what we call the index, and those four factors are very powerful in links to business outcomes.
From the survey that I've looked at,
sure,
today,
yeah,
it seems that one of the direct benefits for if an employer engages actively with his employees, that,
correct,
one of the key benefits is productivity.
Yes.
What else can they expect?
The great question. I guess the immediate ones would be things like commitment, productivity, quality, retention, but in due course, although profitability is affected by many more factors, you tend to find that corporate performance, team performance, departmental performance increases as well. It's a rising tide once you get people being much more focused on innovation, performance and productivity. So that's where it starts, absolutely right.
We're in very difficult and uncharted,
sure,
waters,
yeah,
as the employment market is very,
yes,
unpredictable at the moment.
Yes.
Have you noticed any,
yes,
particular change in what the emotions drive people and what they want to harness from an employer?
What a great question. The specific answer is for the last 20 years we've been tracking employee commitment in the developed economies, for the last few years in the emerging economies, and since 2008 within GCC. And the remarkable finding, and it's probably counterintuitive, is that the global key drivers, those things that really matter that you're asking, are pretty much matched globally and in GCC. And I have four factors that I could mention if you wish.
Please do.
The four factors, surprise, surprise, factor one, but in no particular order, would be leadership. Specifically, leaders who inspire confidence in the future. That's a tough one. On a 5-point scale, does your leader inspire you? Gives you confidence for the future. The second one specifically, managers who recognize employees' commitment to quality and improvement. So it's leaders and managers. The third one, and I think this is really lovely actually, is exciting work. And when was the last time people said work was exciting? And then the fourth one, and I think this is a lovely moment just to finish off, would be corporate social responsibility. Maybe a bit surprising to people, but CSR really matters. And those four macro factors, I think you've got to get right. So if you're not getting threes or fours on a 5-point scale, you should worry. And the stats show that this is a leading indicator. 6 months ahead of time, if these stats start rising, the indicators are the business starts rising. So that's where we're very interested in tracking the developed and developing economies, as it were, and looking at the 08-09 trends. And there's some very interesting trends.
How is the uncertainty in the labour market manifesting itself with people's emotions right now?
It's a really good question. If we use words like segmentation, borrowing from marketing, I'm a great believer in segmenting the employment market or segmenting the internal market. For example, the very talented, inspired, hardworking, you know, high productivity people may have a different set of emotions. But I guess what we're saying is, unless leaders engage, inspire, and focus on, and managers who focus on quality, and you create exciting jobs, those things will last forever. And what we found is over 10, 20 years, these things are pretty fundamental drivers. My prediction is those 10 will always happen. What we found is in the Gulf, actually, GCC states specifically, those 10 factors, which we can crunch down to the four I've mentioned, really do matter. So the emotional states can be stabilized by these four factors. But if you're losing ground on these four factors, you're just going to slide.
Tarek, what's your view on this?
Before I get to my view, I'd just like to take a step back, Vernon, and say, how does your company work? Are you a research company? Are you a consulting group?
Yes.
Who is your client?
Yes.
A lot of data, a lot of information.
Sure.
Who are you doing it for?
Short answer, it's quite difficult to me to give a short answer to this, but in short, we are an HR technology company that also does fundamental research to back up our technology, and we also consult. So technology, research and consulting specifically, 4,000 clients, probably 100 million people pass through our portals every year, 10 million of those in employee surveys, so we have a rolling three-year database of employee opinion. The thing I'd like to say specifically about this, though, is this is population data. We've invested in population data. It's a bit cheating, actually, if you look at client data, because they're already under high momentum. If we look at population data by country, you get some very interesting patterns. So as an aside, in research, we're fascinated by the HR conditions in different economies, and are the conditions for success inside businesses trackable, and are they controllable? And we would maintain that there are 10 micro factors, but 4 macro factors to control. And they're pretty consistent across the Gulf and globally. I hope that answers your rather complex question, actually.
Actually, it was a very simple question. It was, how does your business model work? And you gave me a very complex response.
We improve business through HR metrics.
Okay, that's a much more concise response. Now, moving on, I think what we'd also like to sort of, it's very close to my heart,
sure.
The fact that we have emotional contracts in addition to, the technical contract that we have.
Yes.
And the emotional contract is what drives it. And this is something I've been talking about, you know, for the last 10, 15 years. And people thought I was just too soft.
Yes. No.
But I guess that's one of the key things. As a CEO, I encounter that all the time.
Excellent.
Yeah. Is there a recognition of that emotional contract amongst the leadership of this part of the world, number one? Mm. And a follow-up is, when we look at family companies, is that there an integral part of the way they look at their employees?
I would say yes, I agree with you. We haven't yet got the data at that level of granularity to satisfy your specific question, because we'd have to ask it state by state, demographic by demographic, but all the trends there are exactly as you're saying. The emotional factor works, and I would prefer to call it people metrics, but inside people metrics, probably the emotional ones win.
So amongst those factors, let's look at the downside, because there are a lot of things happening, and there's another story there. The downside is that what are the top three difficult things which erode the confidence?
I would say the first thing is integrity. Leaders without integrity, organizations without integrity, based on the data, this is not my personal opinion, the data shows consistently over 20 years that corporate social responsibility and leadership integrity wins. That's probably the key starting point. Not just charismatic leaders, but charismatic leaders who will demonstrate genuine responsibility to their employees and their communities. And people spot that. No matter what the text says or the PR statement says, people spot leaders' disconnects. And that would be a downside. You can't pretend anymore.
Vernon, looking at the rankings which the findings in your survey, I was absolutely fascinated to see that India comes out as the leading nation for employee engagement. Why?
Yes. I think there could be two reasons. We would probably like to ask a number of people from that country to say, why do you think? But I think there's an enormous pride in that nation. That's one particular thing, in talking to colleagues. So there's enormous natural pride. It's very difficult to find the negativity you might find in certain Anglo-Saxon economies, for example. So there is this tide of pride, if you pardon the rhyming. But also, I think the way people interpret these scales quite often, in certain cultures, there's always a positive spin to the scale. So it may be that the way the people have interpreted the slide. The alternative is, genuinely, the experience in India as an employee is different to Japan, for example, which doesn't seem to be doing too well on the numbers.
Yes. India comes out at 73%.
Sure.
The UAE comes out at 59%.
Yes.
Why?
Yes. I guess because the leaders and the managers in UAE have earned it. That's why hard-working, great leaders and managers who have worked for years to develop their emotional connection to their people and their families, and they want that to continue. That would be my interpretation.
Moving forward, what is the type of advice that you would give to the leaders in the UAE in particular?
Yep.
And what's the nature of your clients here? Who are we talking to?
The nature of our clients here would... I'm not sure whether I declare them, but I will. Majid Al-Futtaim is one of our clients. Nahil, Abraash Capital, Zain. It's very interesting to hear the Zain news that just now, the telco experience. Coast, King Abdullah University of Science and Technology, Saudi Aramco would be a number of names. Those would be the very focused local companies. There are 4,000 global companies that we have, many of which are here, including, say, HSBC, people like that. Does that help you?
Yes, it does. Very impressive list indeed. Now, since you're an expert on, and we've been discussing the Bahrain Enra sponsorship regulations and so on that are being discussed at this moment in time, do you think on your confidence survey and your emotional survey that'll help the people who are here? That'll help to sort of motivate them even more?
I think it gives them, I know actually, it gives them facts. And there's tons of conjecture, tons of hypothesis, and why not? But tons of hope needs tons of data. So hopefully we can add the data so people can see the differences. China, for example, is pretty static at 55. Saudi Arabia is rising slightly, but UAE is rising far more than any other state. So this data, I think, gives people something to work on rather than just hope and emotion. We need facts.
Last week, we had Nielsen's managing director here, and they have done a recent confidence survey where the UAE has sort of slipped from, I think it was number 4 or number 5, down to number 9.
Yes.
And they're still very, very high.
Yes.
What are, in your view, what are the factors that we need to do to drive that confidence up in the current conditions? We spoke about green shoots earlier on today.
Sure,
we spoke
about
the stock markets bouncing and so on. Are we nearly there? I mean, if you did the survey in 3 months' time, are we going to be back up to number 3?
Well, we haven't got the data points yet, and wouldn't it be marvellous to look ahead for the 3 data points? We have 08 and 09, and I'd love to look at year 10 now, but we can't. My feeling, though, based on the data, I have to say, is that these 4 mega factors, which I've mentioned, leadership, managers, exciting jobs, and corporate social responsibility, you can't escape it. And behind that, there are 10 factors, which leaders, I guess, would just need to look at those 4. And those 4 behaviours you can do today. And maybe you do them already. Just keep doing them. And there's another 10 behind it, but they're kind of sub-themes on these 4 themes. So my advice would be, you know, if the fire alarm goes off now, I would say leaders who focus on those 4 will do a lot of good for their people, their communities, their businesses, and the UAE.
And Verna, one final question.
Sure.
How does employee engagement work for specific job functions? In other words, does an employer have to give a weighting for somebody at a more junior level? And how does it work with the CEO?
There are all sorts of demographics here. One is the honeymoon effect, for example, where you do get the benefit of doubt from young, new employees, and then you get the slightly more cynical, embedded employees who drop slightly, typically, and then towards the end of a career, and this could be at any moment, you tend to find the engagement comes up. But your point about job families, massive, important point. You tend to find, surprise, surprise, leaders and managers are on top, and you get a curve just dropping down to customer facing.
Vernon Bryce, Managing Partner of Kinexa, thank you very much indeed for your comment.
Thank you.
This program was recorded.